And we've been studying the book of Romans. It's the second week now. We're still in chapter number one. I divided chapter one in two sections because it is so good. And I encourage you to follow along as we study. Now, what we've been doing is spending the time. Now, we're going to start in chapter number two for next week. As soon as we're done today, I've already been in there a little bit. Kind of anxious to get to the first part of chapter number two already. But we study it, and then Wednesday night we discuss it a little bit. I kind of give you some thoughts. There's some key thoughts to begin with. And then Sunday school, we discuss it again. And then I preach a message from it that following Sunday. But in Romans chapter number 1, we talked about the first 17 chapters are for saints and sinners. It talks about how God has made us saints out of sinners. And then in the rest of the chapter, it points out from the outline we gave you at the beginning of our study and some memory verses on there. And again, I encourage you to memorize the scriptures. The sinner without God, the wrath of God is revealed. The first time I read through this and preparing the message, verse number 18 stuck out to me, that the wrath of God is revealed. Now, we're going to look at in chapter number 1 this morning, and verse number 16, we're going to back up. Verse number 16 and 17, I believe, are the we're using them as the focal point of our entire study in the book of Romans. So we're going to back up verse number 16 and read down through verse number 22. If you're able to stand with me, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning in Romans 1, verse number 16 down through verse number 22. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. And God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Father, we pray Your blessing upon the Word of God this morning. God, I pray that You would work in our hearts. And Lord, it's our tendency when we read the Scripture to look at other people when it talks about sin and condemnation and wickedness. The Lord, help us to look within, to see ourselves the way You see us. And then that we could see Your grace, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, Your love, and Your compassion that's far beyond our ability to comprehend. Lord, and I sought to know it. I could not comprehend it. It's far greater than anything I could ever know and understand in this finite mind. And Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for this time that we can gather together, to see the love of Christ, to focus on Him, to realize that we are nothing without Him, but in Him we are everything because we're a part of Him. We've been brought into His righteousness, into His body, into His being, into His holiness. Lord, I pray that You teach us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Bless our time together this morning. Work in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. And I'm going to take this off if you don't mind. Even if you do mind, I'm going to take it off. All right. In the verses we looked at last week, and I wanted to go back and look at verse number 16 and 17, we see the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God. Righteousness, as I've defined it, and again, I like to study words and define them as simply as I can, even though that is impossible to give a simple definition to any great biblical word, but the best I can do with righteousness is God's plan or scheme of redemption for lost man back to a right relationship back with Him. And that's God's righteousness. I have no righteousness but in Christ. He had no sin but my sin. I have no righteousness but His righteousness. Someone reminded me of that last week again. And notice the power of God is in the gospel in verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That word power is a wonderful word. The Greek word is dunamis, is where we get the word dynamite in our language. The power, that's the most powerful force known to man at the time that this the Bible was translated into English. We could say tonight it's the atom bomb of God's power. It's the energy that we cannot ever fully comprehend or define. The power of God is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the what? Power of God. For we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound that which is mighty. The power of God is the gospel, that God so loved this world that He gave Himself to sinners like me. You say, well, you're not that bad of a person. Oh, if you only knew. The Apostle Paul said that, and I'd say Apostle Paul would be right up at the top of the chart for good people, but he said he's the chiefest of sinners. And the more we walk with Him, the more we realize how wicked and how vile our sinfulness is. When we think we're doing okay, that tells us we're a long ways from where God wants us to be. And when we look at the Word of God, we see ourselves for who we are, and then we begin to see God for who He is. It's His righteousness. And that righteousness comes, not only the power comes through the gospel, but the righteousness comes through faith. Notice in verse number 17, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm going to say this, I have no faith, but God's faith. God gives me the faith to believe on Him. God gives me just enough faith to call upon Him to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the more I give myself to the Word of God, the more He gives me faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the righteousness of God, the more we understand God's Word, the more we understand the righteousness that comes only by God. So the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel, through the power of the gospel, and through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And then we look at the rest of this chapter. We kind of turn to the other side. And it talks about the wrath of God is revealed or given to us. The wrath of God for those that reject the gospel and reject faith. And by the way, this is the direction every one of us were headed. This is the direction our nation is headed today, because they've rejected the gospel and rejected God's faith in God. It's a direction of family members that have rejected the gospel. It doesn't matter who we are. If we reject the gospel, if we reject the faith of God, we're headed toward the wrath of God that's revealed in this chapter. Now I want to look at a couple of things. There's something I want to focus on. So I'm going to go very quickly over the first part. The wrath of God is revealed to those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In verse number 18 and 19, the wrath is revealed against heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they've got the Bible in their hand. They've got the truth in their hand. We hold in our hand the Word of God, and yet we deny the Word. I'm talking about the religious crowd today. I'm talking about church-going crowd. Folks who claim to be Christians, but deny the inspiration and the preservation of the Word of God. And think that they're too smart for God. They hold the truth, but they don't believe the truth. I'm thinking of the apostle, or not the apostle, of Pontius Pilate, who Jesus stood for before while he was condemned to death. And Jesus was looking at Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was looking at him. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Here he is looking at the very person of truth and couldn't see him. Earlier in the chapter before, in John chapter 17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Earlier in the Gospel of John, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is truth. We hold the truth in unrighteousness. These are the religious experts of our day today. Those that critique the Word of God. "Well, the Bible says that, but I don't think it really means that. Well, I don't think that verse belongs. Well, I think this verse should say this," and they start to cut up and critique, and we call them textual critics today, that try to decide what belongs in the Word of God and what doesn't belong in the Word. It all belongs there. If God's preserved, amen. Are you with us this morning? It all is there for us. We're talking about those that that deny the deity of Christ. We call them liberals, doctrinally. That deny the virgin birth, deny that Jesus is God Himself, that Jesus rose up from the dead. They deny the fact that Jesus said that He is coming again. Well, He's coming again, but not in the literal sense. Yes, He is coming again. And one day every eye shall see Him, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that He is God, and He proved Himself to be God by His resurrection. And notice what it says in verse number 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen." You mean God created the earth? Yes, He did. "In 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested." Do you believe that? Yes, I do. If it's in the book, I've got to believe it. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible I don't want to believe. My mind says that can't be right. But God says, yes, it's right. If God put it in there, we cannot prove it otherwise. By the way, some folks say, "Well, I don't believe God created everything. I believe everything evolved." Every step in the billions, the uncountable billions of steps that evolution would have taken, none of them can be proven by science. It's all taken by faith. By faith, we understand. By faith, they deny. And there's a difference between creation and evolution. I won't go any farther down that rabbit trail, but as much as I'd like to chase that rabbit for a while. But these are those that hold the truth. We look at creation, there had to be a designer. Every great thing has to have a designer behind it. Well, except for everything, according to evolution. Everything came from nothing, and well, that's an impossible. We just call those miracles. They call them, I don't know what they call them. They call it science. The Bible calls it science, falsely so called. But notice in verse number 20, God's revelation to all men, the invisible thing, the revelation of the Word of God, verse 18 and 19, verse number 20, the revelation to all men. Everyone knows. Everyone's born into this world knowing that there is a God. You have to be educated to become an atheist. No one is born an atheist. I like a book that I read some time ago by Ray Comfort. Some of you might know that name. God doesn't believe in atheism. God doesn't believe in atheists, I think is what it was called. But there's no such thing as an atheist. Everyone's born into this world believing in God. Now, we tell ourselves a lie long enough, we can start to believe it. But human nature tells us someone had to design this great world that we live in. Notice, now this is what I want to focus on, verse 21 and 22. I want to show you three steps into destruction. Now we picked up in Sunday school, in our class, we picked up in verse number 22 and through the rest of this chapter, and it talks about some terrible, horrible things that I would say when I was a child, most of these things were unmentionable in public places. Today, they're mentioned in children's cartoons, in children's coloring books. Today, it's just a part of our culture. We just take it in stride and don't even think about it anymore. The wickedness and vileness of our day today has become that, by the way, is just as repulsive to God as it always has been. But we just kind of take it in stride. Yeah, that's just the way the world is today. I hear that said quite often. And folks say, well, that's just the way people are today. Well, that's the way sinners are. But that's what's in our heart. But what I want you to see is backing up. How did we get from this place to this place? How did we get from the America that I knew as a child to the America that we know today? That's shoved in our face everywhere we look. And I want to look at three steps into destruction. In verse 21 through 22. Look at the verses again, verse 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All three steps are right there, but then verse number 22 is the whipped cream on top of the ice cream and the cherry on top. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, we know better. No, we don't know a thing. We think we're smarter than God in our world today because we've rejected the gospel. We've rejected faith in God. So we have a faith in no God. And we have a gospel that we ourselves are our own saviors in our world today. But there's three steps I want you to see in destruction and realize that every one of us, if we're not careful, will easily take these steps. In fact, daily, we got to make sure, don't go that way. That's a step. Step number one in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They refused, number one, to glorify God. They refused to glorify God, to recognize that God is in control. We simply call this sin pride. It is the sin that is responsible for all other sins, our pride. I think I can do it. I got up this morning and didn't need to pray because I don't need prayer. I'm God. I got up this morning and thought, well, I can. You know, I went to this task and thought I can do it. I don't need God. That's my pride. Thinking, the truth is, I can't live a second without God. I can't take the next breath without God. Not only He causes my lungs to fill with air, but He gave me the air to put in my lungs. Everything I have belongs to God. If I think otherwise, I'm refusing to glorify God. I'm turning away from... We're going to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. Back in Genesis chapter number 11. Genesis chapter number 11. I want you to see where this is first... of course, it's seen all through the Bible, but I was thinking of this verse for in illustration purposes. In Genesis chapter number 11, you remember in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, there was a great flood that covered the entire face of the earth. Those of us who love to study science and love to study the world that we live in and love to spend time outdoors, everywhere I look, I see evidence of that flood. And of course, the world says that didn't happen. When I was a child, they said there was an ice age that caused all this to change. But now they realize it couldn't have possibly happened in one ice age, so they added multiple ice ages. Now I think they're up to thousands of ice ages because they realize, but one flood would have done all of it. But of course, we can't believe that because that's what the Bible teaches. And by the way, real science accepts all possibilities and then looks for answers rather than having an idea, a presupposed idea. But anyways, in chapter number 11, God says, this is what happened after. Now, keep in mind, everybody in this chapter remembers the stories of the flood. That was their grandma and grandpa that was on the boat, Noah. They're the descendants of Noah. And they saw the story. There were people that were still around that were on that boat. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were still, people were still aware of what happened. It could not be denied that the flood, I mean, just a generation ago. It wasn't that long ago that this happened. Now, the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass, and we call this the Tower of... Do we say Babel or Babel? Babel. I say Babel. In Midwest, we say Babel. Some folks say Babel. All right? It's like, is it soda or pop or Coke? Or if you're right with God, it's Dr. Pepper, right? I'm going to say Babel, all right? So don't laugh at me if you're not... How do they say in California? No, Babel or Babel. They say soda for Babel. Oh, there we go. But anyways, the whole earth was one language, one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the Shinar. In the Shinar, they dwelt there. Now keep in mind, God's instruction was to go over all the earth, replenish the earth. And they said one to another, let us, there's an operative, the key word there, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name that we, lest we be scattered abroad. God said, I want you to scatter abroad. No, we don't want to do that. It's all about us. It's all about, let us make us a name. The Lord came down to see that city. Not that God wasn't aware of it already. He came to visit them. And the tower, which the children of men build. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and they begin to do. And by the way, God wasn't upset. God wasn't worried about this. God knew what was going to happen. He said, oh, what are we going to do now? We've got to fix this thing. We got a problem here. God knew it all along. Every problem you ever face, God already knows about. Everything that you ever go through, God doesn't know about it before you ever thought about it. And God knows everything. He already knew. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And he said, let us, and God said, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them. You see, the steps of destruction, first of all, refuse to glorify God, refuse to give Him, refuse to acknowledge Him for who He is. He's the God that created. He's the one that sent the flood. He's the one that gave us instructions. Hey, we've got a better idea. We've got other things that we need to do. There's the first step of destruction. They refused to glorify God back in Romans chapter number 1. They refused to glorify, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became, notice what it says in verse number 21 of Romans 1, they became vain in their imagination. But before that, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Ungratefulness. This world of entitlement. Everybody owes me something. You need to serve me. You need to give me. Not only is it all about me because I am God. And by the way, that's the end of the teaching of evolution. That I am God. That's the end of textual criticism in the religious circles. I am God. I get to decide what belongs in the Bible and what doesn't belong in the Bible. I am God. I get to decide what is true doctrine and what is false doctrine. God gave us a book to do all that. But we hold that book in our hand and say, well, we got to decide ourselves because we refuse to glorify God because of our pride. And then we take the next step of ungratefulness. We are entitled. God, you owe me this. When God doesn't give me what I deserve, God, you're not fair. I'm going to find myself another God. I'm going to find another way to do it. We expect others. And we expect God to cater to our needs and our desires. Now, later on, Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about that. We don't know how we ought to pray. And in fact, most of my time in prayer, I'm asking God, how should I pray for this? Because I know if I pray according to your will, you'll answer that prayer, but I don't know how to pray. Because my mind doesn't operate by what you see, because I don't see what you see. Only God knows. And I just learned to trust in Him and walk with Him. But we become ungrateful when we make ourselves God. And we expect others to cater to us. We become a generation of laziness, of idleness, of undisciplined young people. We don't discipline our children. We're undisciplined adults because of that after a couple of generations. We are people with no character and no initiative. You know, I like to look at I spent some time with my granddaughter yesterday and was asking her what she likes to read. You're a preacher's kid, you're a preacher's grandkid. You get to be used for illustrations, all right, Macy? She said she likes history. I said, I love history from just about 200, 250 years ago when people had some character and discipline in America. They talk about the World War II generation as the greatest generation. I call them the last great generation when they had character and discipline that we've lost over time. And by the way, I'm not saying that condemn you. I'm saying it condemned me, because we are an entitled people today, whether we want to realize it or not. We point at everybody else, but we fit in that same category as well. And I want you to look at one passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. We need to go back here. We need to turn to this because this fits so good into Romans chapter number 1. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16. You're familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah, where we get the term sodomite, which means what we would call today gay. I hate that they've taken such a good word and used it for such a disgraceful thing. But it used to be called sodomy. Comes from the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis chapter number 18, where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their immoral, unthinkable sexual practices. But I want you to see what God says, and I was going to read a long section here. Let me just read one verse. I got to find what the verse is that I want to reach, because I'm not going to read all of it. Verse number 46 of Ezekiel. Do you find Ezekiel chapter 16? Verse number 46, I believe, is what I want, rather than covering everything. And thine elder sister is Samaria. Actually, verse number 17. Verse number 48. Jump down to there. As I live, saith the Lord, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done. Now, God's speaking to his people here. You think God's people are run over by sodomites? No, but they're guilty of the same sins they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse number 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. They're going to talk about the queers here, the sodomites, the gays that we would call them today. This is what we're talking about. No, this is not the sin. And God's saying, we as God's people are just as guilty as they are. What is the sin? What's the first one in verse number 49? Pride. Fullness of bread. That's number two. We don't know what it is to be hungry. We think if we have a meal 5 minutes late, we're hungry. My stomach growled once. I think I'm hungry. We don't know what it is to be really hungry. I really don't know what that's like. And abundance of idleness. What are you doing? Just hanging out? I'm not sure what that means. Just sitting around doing nothing? The abundance. We certainly live in a day of abundance of idleness was in her daughter. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. There are so many poor and needy. There are so many around us that could use someone to love them, someone to share the gospel. But we're too busy being idle, doing nothing. Oh boy, there's the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not the sin we think of when we talk of sodomy. The sin of pride, of fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor. There's the ungratefulness that God's talking about. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Oh, that sin of pride, of fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, of greed, of self. And then in verse 21 through 22, the end of verse number 21, they became vain, empty in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Their vain imaginations in darkness . We hold the truth in our hand, but what are we doing with it? We have the answer in our hand to the world that's all around us and dying and going to hell, but what are we doing with it? Well, you know, we're kind of busy. Busy doing what? being idle, really, if we were honest. And oh, what a day we live in. These are the steps that God gives us. Because of these things, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodly. These are the steps that led to the place where we are today. I'm always amazed in our world today, and I'm not saying I'm above this. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. This is a part of our culture. We've got all the gadgets to save us so much time. What do we do with all that extra time? Do we have any extra time? But we've got every gadget thinkable to save us time, but we still don't have time to walk with God. We still don't have time to tell somebody about Jesus. We still don't have time to pray because we've got all these other things to do. I'm so glad this morning when, well, this is the wrong time of year to say this. I'm glad I got air conditioning. Huh? When we say in the wintertime around here, it's nice to not have to get up and go light a fire to warm yourself up. It's nice to have a house to sleep under a roof, isn't it? We've got all those times. We don't have to go build a shelter to sleep in tonight. We've got all this time because I'm glad that when we need a light on at night, all we got to do is flip that little switch. We don't have to light a candle. We got all these gadgets to save time. I mean, we got programs and things on our phones that do this and that for us. And I mean, folks can turn their light on at home. They can start their car by inside. Some of you got cars like that. All those gadgets to save ourselves from time, but yet we have no time other than our abundance of idleness. And all the wrath of God is revealed to them that refuse to recognize who God is because of our pride. To ungrateful for all the good things that He's given to us. And we become vain in our imagination. And the more vain we become, the more self-centered and self-righteous we become, the more dark we become. And we look at these lists of things in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and think, oh, I'm glad, boy, that's not a part of my life. I'm not even sure what some of these things are. I look at what's going on in our world today, and I'm not even sure who that person is. People talk about so-and-so, and I don't know who that is. Is that a singer or actor or sports person or who is that? I don't even know. But everybody knows, but I guess except me. I don't live in that world, I guess. But all these things we look at others and say, well, that's them, that's not me. But the truth is, when we look at these first three steps of going that direction, every one of us is guilty. Oh, to walk with God. Oh, to have a relationship with Him. And God's righteousness is revealed and God's wrath is revealed. You say, well, we need America to turn back to God. No, God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked, not the rest of the world's wicked ways, but my wicked ways. He just showed us what our wicked ways are right there. I don't know. I'm okay in that area. I'm not. And the more I look at what sin is, the more I realize how guilty I am. I'm so thankful for God's mercy that He doesn't give me what I deserve. And thankful for His grace that He's made me what I could not be on my own. He's counted me righteous, not because of my righteousness, but because of His righteousness. Oh, the righteousness of God's revealed, the wrath of God's revealed. Which road are we going to take? Which one are we traveling today as believers? I'm going to ask you to stand.